The town council absolutely knows there's something weird going on. This one specifically, I don't know. Things in general, yes.
Well, just the scale of it too, though. I mean, it's not just one little thing here or there, like Zoe's running down. It's kind of across the board, and the council, you know, definitely said we should try to make sure that everybody's happy. And I don't know, just it's
nope. The town council said we should write things that keep people happy. We are not responsible for the happiness of everyone in town. They would need to pay way more.
Oh, yeah, because if that's the case, I'm definitely not happy. Just, yeah.
Step one, I quit.
I mean, do you want to talk about that sometime, Zoe? I mean, I think it is kind of all our responsibility to make sure everybody's happy. And
do not put that on me, Nihilus.
You should come by. We'll make some dessert sometime, Zoe. I've got...
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see if we can't source.
Nihilus, you are a wholesome, wholesome man, and it aggravates me sometimes.
This is Once Upon a Monster of the Week. Welcome back to Reddington, where summoning a demon is sometimes not the last resort. I'm Wendy, your town narrator, to say the least. The last time we left our news group, they were debating where to go next. Let's check in on them.
I think we were heading to the hospital to find that girl.
Yes.
Something happened to somebody.
Libby.
Yeah.
Libby Stewart.
The cheerleader. Yeah. Something that had with Pop Rocks and soda, apparently.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. That sounds unpleasant.
I'm sensing a trend.
Yeah.
The group, minus Nihilus, is about to meet Arturo Jackson, the town lone cab driver. Don't worry if he looks a little gaunt. That's just how we like him.
Artie, what's up?
Good afternoon, Zoe.
I just figured Siomata probably takes this cab service all the time, and is just like, yeah, Artie.
You need a ride?
Yeah, you got space for five, four. You can't see that, Artie, guy. It's fine. Four. You got space for four?
Unfortunately, Nihilus has had to run into a local coffee shop that, thankfully, he has a good relationship with, as he frequently provides pastry and breakfast items for their shop. So Artie, the cab driver, happily makes room for the three adventurers and their invisible friends.
Fen, you coming?
Yes, just let me, and I, you know, say goodbye to the littles and all that stuff, making sure that they have my contact info for when we're sorting out sort of payment and so on. I'm ready to go.
Because of some bad magic, Nihilus had to suffer for about half an hour, but then, just as quickly as his side effects settled in, they disappeared. After a moment, the other adventurers realized that Nihilus was not with them, and immediately remembered that he had left in a hurry last episode.
Should we find Nihilus? Is he going to meet us at the hospital?
You know what? We'll shoot him a text. I'm sure it's fine. We exchanged numbers earlier, right?
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Totally fine.
I'll text Nihilus. Where'd you go? Meet you at the hospital?
He gets a text back in a couple of seconds later. The little dancing dots. And he's like, sounds good. Should be along shortly.
Thumbs up emoji. Little reporter in a news cap emoji. All right. And I get in the cab.
They decided to take the cab to get to the hospital at roughly the same time as Nihilus.
Are we in the cab for a full half hour?
However, they were delayed even more.
It's a trafficy day because an old lady is crossing the street.
By an old woman struggling to cross the street. We have been informed that that woman was Maud. Maud, next time, please call Kathy or accept help when it is offered. Thank you.
So I think I'm just going to lean forward, I guess, be able to talk to Artie more. Have you seen anything weird lately? Just, you know, anything at, bizarre? Did you pick up a passenger that maybe looked freaked out, like they were being haunted, or, you know, heard some real good gossip about what the latest horror thing is in town? What's the goss, boss?
I don't know. You're my third ride to the hospital for some weird stuff. I mean, you mentioned weird stuff, so I assume you've seen some weird stuff. Outside of, you know, me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know me, Artie. You know me. The things I get up to. Yeah. I mean, I sort of took on a new job and everything. I just figure this will probably make that job a little bit easier.
I don't know. Okay, it sounds really dumb. But apparently, a kid had to be taken to the hospital. And they had a mask on him? Because his face just kind of froze that way. But it's that asshole kid down the street, you know? The one always beating up on other kids?
Oh, Kyle?
Junior?
Oh.
Yeah, Kyle Junior. You're right.
His face froze. What way did you say?
I got a nurse friend, right? She works in the ER. And the best way she can describe it is that his face just froze that way.
With that, Artie arrives at the hospital and lets out our adventurers.
Well, Artie, as much as I would love to sit here and chat about all the weird stuff, because you know me and what I do, we're actually going to go and check up on someone here. But don't worry about us, okay? You just keep doing what you gotta do, and I'll, like, take out, like, a $10 bill. I don't know how much it costs to get from place to place. Just, like, slide it to him. Keep the change.
What the listener should be aware of is that Zoe and Artie have come to an arrangement of sorts. With Zoe's line of work, she occasionally needs help getting in and out of situations quickly. So, when she can, she pays Artie, and sometimes a little more. And when she says she can't, or when money is tight, Artie takes her at her word.
He's the only cab driver in town. You're gonna have to pay him eventually.
You are right about that. Alright, see ya, Artie. Stay fabulous. And I'm just gonna, like, walk up into the... I guess, like, it's a hospital, so, like, wherever, like, security or the nurse's station, you know, like, I'm just walking up to wherever I need to find the patient.
I'm gonna stop you before we go up.
Ben?
Okay. So, we've definitely got, like, playground rumors, and now we've got warnings from parents actually happening, right? That's what we've got. The sort of things that kids believe.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're thinking. This is straight out of that one extremely wacky Supernatural episode. But I just, you know, sometimes the weirdest things come from the stupidest ones, okay? Normally I wouldn't bother, but I think we're gonna have to chase this down for the sake of the newspaper, or at least, like, figure out, like, what's going on, because, I mean... Listen, the whole thing, like, oh, your face is freezing that way. Like, I have never once heard that from my parents. And so now I'm wondering if, like, all these weird things are something, like, only white kids do. So, and if so, you know, totally fine. Doesn't bother me none. However,
I don't know what I don't know what froze their face, but I can attest that whoopee cushions and Pop Rocks and soda are both things that I've done.
Yeah, see? Exactly.
So you might have a point.
Exactly. So I'm just, maybe this is like, I don't know, some curse that is just afflicting all the white people in town. I don't know, okay?
Well, my mom always
tells me very different things. So I, like, this doesn't affect me. But I'd like to, you know, find out why, you know?
So probably right about here, I think there's a bell on a bicycle and Nihilus is rolling up.
Oh, Nihilus at the bike.
Nihilus, that's such a nice bike.
Oh, good. I caught you guys. You haven't gone in yet.
No. We were just, we were actually just talking to Artie, you know, the cab driver. He was telling us about, you know, that really asshole kid, Kyle Watterson, from, like, down the street. So apparently Kyle, he had to be taken to the hospital in a mask because his face froze a certain way.
A certain way.
Well, okay, I mean, it's something that white parents tell their kids, you know, like, oh, don't look that way, your face will freeze. I'm just, you know, I don't know what face.
Oh, wait, don't make that face at me, it'll get stuck.
Yeah, there you go. See, white people, right? Fun, like, fun, come on.
Yeah, I mean, I I mean, I'm not saying we should investigate because it's silly. I'm sorry. I just keep thinking about what kind of stupid things did we believe when we were kids? Because I remember things like, if you swallow a watermelon seed, watermelons will grow inside of you. And I don't want that to happen to me. Or to you.
I don't eat watermelons.
Great. But, you know, things like that.
A series of things kids are afraid of that aren't real happening for real.
Huh. You might have a point.
This is not an ideal situation, I'm saying.
Okay. No, you're right.
No, but it is interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So, things that we believed when we were kids that are actually happening. Don't step on a crack, you break your mother's back. Have any moms, like, you know, had to come for severe back pain? Or did their spines, like, just snap in half? Oh my god. Oh, this is bad. This is real bad.
Who was that old woman that was taking forever to cross the street?
Oh god!
What?
That old woman, when we were driving,
You think the old woman who was...
She was holding her back.
Oh,
I don't know.
My gosh.
I'm gonna keep an eye out and see how far past the old woman did we get.
While our adventurers worry about Maud.
I said that as a joke, I'm so sorry.
What they need to know, or I hope they understand once they finally meet her. It was a scam. Maud was faking it for some reason. We can only assume. If Maud needed help crossing the street, someone would be helping Maud cross the street. As the adventurers debate how to proceed forward, they see and hear an ambulance approach and go to the side of the building. Clearly, someone is being rushed in.
Oh.
A fourth patient? Yeah, I'm just going to snoop.
Yeah, we gotta snoop on this one.
We gotta snoop. I think the game plan is to get as close as we can, unconspicuously, and try to get an eye on who's coming out of that.
Yeah.
And what happened?
We're hanging out in the hospital lobby place, right? Like the entrance. They're gonna have to come through here.
Our adventurers debate whether or not to continue through the guest entrance of the hospital, or to run around to the side so they can spot what has happened.
So let's skedaddle to the emergency room real quick.
Sounds good.
As our adventurers round the corner, they spot a middle-grade child on a stretcher being wheeled into the hospital. The kid is screaming as his leg looks like it has been swallowed by a pipe.
A pipe?
Like a pool drain?
All right, this is not one that I remember.
Or,
oh no, is it a pool drain? I was totally afraid of that as a kid.
What?
See, I know I'm making Siomara say all this, but this is truly the whitest situation I could, like, be a part of.
No, because, I'm, like, half white, and I don't understand the pool drain.
Oh, you gotta stay away from the pool drain. You'll get sucked in.
You'll get sucked in. At the
big in-ground pools, they have the return, and you gotta stay away from that.
All right, you know what? I'm just gonna pretend like that's totally fine. Whatever. Okay, I'm gonna like turn around like quickly, and then I'm just gonna locate Alistair, and I'm gonna grab him again. And I'm like, you. All right, you want to get back into my good graces? I'm gonna need you to go and like find out what's going on with that kid. Okay. Not if you understand me.
Alistair nods vigorously, and so.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw him like he's a baseball, like just like. Phew. Throw him right at the kid.
Unable to contain his glee, Alistair heads over to observe the child with the pipe swallowing his leg. What should be a horrific situation really does have Alistair just giddy. He attempts to shimmy down the drain pipe a few times before finally noticing some white paint on the back of the kid's knee above the pipe.
I swear if this is a clown.
Between Alistair and Zoe, she tries to put together whether or not she can tell what kind of creature could do this.
Okay. So, white face paint.
It's gonna be a mime?
The worst sort of clown.
And what could harm it?
In white face paint is just scrawled, my weaknesses.
Just along the pipe.
Unfortunately, it looked as if there were no clues to be found. However, after a few minutes of supportive words from her and fellow adventurers,
little Rumpelstiltskin sort of situation,
It's like a calling card.
Zo was able to click together the type of paint on the child's leg and a story they had once heard. Something about an urban legend. Zo is able to dig into the recesses of her brain and remember something about a curse and a doll.
A cursed doll or a curse and a doll?
Not a cursed doll. A curse and a doll.
Curse and a doll.
Don't like that.
Okay. Mm-mm. I'm going to turn to the group. Yell, I think this weird thing happening is probably like a voodoo doll situation. I think.
Okay, that's probably better. I'm not going to lie. There's a moment here. I kind of thought it might be Alistair, but... So good to know other options.
All of these pranks?
You thought that Alistair was just going around and just fucking with people? Like,
honestly, the whoopee cushion does have a little bit of an Alistair ring to it.
Of course, Alistair would be highly offended by these accusations. Was quick to supply a what the fuck face to those around.
I mean, how do you voodoo doll IBS? Like,
I mean, you can take a pin to a person's stomach and maybe, I don't know.
Oh, maybe they have nothing to do with the pranks. They're just messing with the dolls when the pranks are happening.
Maybe, yeah. I don't see why not.
Yeah, interesting.
Oh, or the whoopee cushion disappeared, didn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a voodoo doll sit on a whoopee cushion, does that then make someone get IBS?
Do you get a little, do you make a tiny little bit of make a tiny little bitty whoopee cushion for the little doll to sit on.
And then it just has IBS.
It's such a cute curse.
Well, maybe it's not a whoopee cushion that the voodoo doll sat. Maybe it was like a balloon or something. Just like something to simulate the...
Mm.
That's not the point. Anyways, the point is
this is another case of something weird, but maybe, I don't know, we should actually go inside and talk to the other one and...
Oh, right, yeah, sorry.
We can only get so far kind of on ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, yeah. Sorry. Fen, I mean, I was going in, but then Fen stopped me, but okay. Anyways, let's go.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we were approaching this with, I mean, now we can see definitely it's very genuinely dangerous,
right.
And not just funny jokes.
I mean, I still think it's kind of funny, but...
It's... From a distance, yes, but
okay.
As we get more involved,
right,
it's not going to be funny if it happens to us.
That's true, that is true.
It might be funny if it happens to some of us.
Nihilus hangs his head a little bit.
Okay. I guess... Actually, Okay, yep, let's proceed cautiously.
Yes.
Barnabas is going to start tiptoeing nonchalantly into the waiting room.
All right, nerd. I didn't mean it like that.
I don't know. I heard an instruction.
Barnabas, not how you do it. And Fen just walks confidently up to the receptionist. It's like, hi, I'm with the town newspaper.
After some deliberation, the adventurers decided to talk to the guest receptionist.
Hi, I'm with the town newspaper. We're just sort of getting started, and we wanted to get a feel for what's going on around town to see, you know, what kinds of feature pieces we can do in the future, sort of going forward. I was wondering, what can you tell me about what's been going on in the hospital lately? Anything interesting that we could potentially write about?
Fen, I think that would sort of be breaking HIPAA to some degree. I don't know if...
Not you know, necessarily, you know, tell me the details on the patients.
Well, yeah, but
know.
The point of HIPAA is, like, if it's identifying information, like, you know, it's just
a
lot of...
Did I ask for information about patients? I said about the hospital. Is the hospital doing a fundraiser?
Okay,
has anything
okay. All right, you continue.
We start.
I think I was like trying to
like, off to the side a little bit. Like I'm trying to grift here. Can we...
Yeah. Sorry.
No, this is great. I love it.
I think when you two like step aside briefly to have that conversation and the person at the reception desk is like wondering what's going on, they just look to me and Nihilus and we're just like, hey, waiting for you two to come back.
After a few moments, Zo and Fen walked away. The receptionist smiled back and waved weakly at the boys.
We might wind up featuring the hospital in a piece. We don't necessarily know what's been going on around here. Can you tell us anything?
The very exhausted receptionist looks at the four adventurers, wishing they would just go away. After a moment, she replies, I am overworked. I am underpaid. I am fucking exhausted. For $2,000 a month, I will let you look at whatever files you want to.
$2,000 a month? For whatever files we want?
Well, I do have to be in that day.
We don't even get paid, do we?
We do get paid, but I don't...
We do get paid.
I thought they said we just shouldn't worry about expenses.
No, we do get paid.
Oh, okay.
They specifically said that, but they did not say how much.
They just refused to tell us how much. $2,000 a month could be all of our paycheck, it could be none of it.
No, because like $2,000 a month is a lot of money.
Really, our adventurers should read the fine print. It's not like we pay in town bucks anymore.
I think whether if it's two grand a month or less, this, I don't, I guess I don't know how I feel about this.
Oh, Sorry. I'm going to walk to the, first, I'm going to grab Nihilus and, like, pull him towards the reception. Sorry, I'm actually here with my friend here. We're visiting his niece. I believe her name is Libby Stewart. Could you just let us know, like, what room she's in? We just have to, like, just to check in on her.
The receptionist looks at Zoe for a second before responding. Uh-huh. Give me a second. Okay, she is on the fourth floor in the gastroenterology critical care ICU.
All right, thank you so much. All right, come on, dude. Let's go see your niece. And just pulls Nihilus, like, towards the elevators.
As they walk, I just walk past the receptionist to go, I'm with them, and follow.
Sorry, then.
Like, I'm trying to get us information, but okay.
I don't have $2,000 a month.
No, I'm like, you know what? I will get back to you. In the meantime, those are my coworkers, and if his niece is in the ICU, I should probably go with. Just gonna follow.
She totally bought it.
All right, Barnabas. I would love to live in whatever world you live in.
So, guys, do you think that the town council knows about any of this? I mean, the timing of this seems pretty particular. There's a lot of weird stuff going on. It was kind of funny at first, but some of these seem like they're getting a little serious.
All right. Like, Nihilus, like, I would, in my line of work, I do nothing but come across weird shit. And these are weird shit that I actually, like, look out for and try to find. There's weird shit happening all the time. And I'm not, like, you know, trying to defend a bunch of council members that I did not vote for and I will strongly vote against next time there is an election.
Are there elections here?
Regardless, I don't know. This probably isn't a coincidence to me, you know? There's always something weird going on.
Nihilus, you've seen our offices? The town council absolutely knows there's something weird going on. This one specifically? I don't know. Things in general? Yes.
Well, just the scale of it, too, though. I mean, it's not just one little thing here or there like Zoe's running down. It's kind of across the board. And the council, you know, definitely said we should try to make sure that everybody's happy. And I don't know, just, it's...
Nope. The town council said we should write things that keep people happy. We are not responsible for the happiness of everyone in town. They would need to pay way more.
Oh, yeah, because if that's the case, I'm definitely not happy. Just, yeah.
Step one, I quit.
I mean, do you want to talk about that sometime, Zoe? I mean, I think it is kind of all our responsibility to make sure everybody's happy.
Do not put that on me, Nihilus.
You should come by. We'll make some dessert sometime, Zoe. I've got...
Okay.
Yeah, we'll see if we can't source.
Nihilus, you are a wholesome man, and it aggravates me sometimes.
Just so wholesome. So wholesome. Great at baking. Really good at just being genuinely nice to people, which is very useful.
You give off the vibe that you were raised in a pillow fort. Like that you were just your whole life is just one big pillow fort. That's so wholesome.
What a childhood.
Anyways, fourth floor.
Our adventurers do really love to chat and bond. Unfortunately, it does leave a lot of confused receptionists. The receptionist in front of the ICU on the fourth floor looked at the adventurers and replied, "That was a lovely bonding moment to witness, but can I help you?"
"Hi, we're looking for Libby Stewart."
"And you are?"
"I am a friend of this man," and I pulls Nihilus viciously in front. "And this man
I am her uncle."
"There you go."
Nihilus says, well, like, getting the glare from Zoe. I'm like, this, yes, her uncle.
Nihilus can't lie.
I'm very worried about my poor little niece.
Uh-huh.
Nihilus is sensing her skepticism, so, like, kind of just blanks for a second. And then, and, like, kind of scrambles around into their bag and pulls out a little box with, like, some cupcakes in it. Says, I brought these, hoping they'd make her feel better."
"I hope you understand my skepticism. We've had Libby for 2 days, and nobody has come to visit her. I'm so glad you guys have finally showed up. Now, they're only going to let one of you at a time back, so keep that in mind, okay?"
You know what, buddy? It's your niece. You do it. And when I say that, I'm grabbing Alistair and just, like, gripping him behind my back. You just go ahead. If we need you, we'll send for you. And I do, like, a little, like, wink. Like, I will send Alistair to deliver a message, if so.
As Nihilus is leaving, I lean over to Nihilus and I go, Hey, Nihilus, I think her stomach might have exploded. Don't feed cupcakes, if that's the case. Please."
I was not going to give her... I gathered as much, okay, but yeah, okay. That's probably a good idea.
I don't know why then you're saying...
She's probably on a very controlled diet right now anyway, and I would not deign to interfere with what the doctors might be recommending.
I'm really concerned because, like, why did the receptionist let you keep those cupcakes?
Yeah, I was also just like, why would you?
I was like, this is not going to go well.
I mean, she could leave them for once she is.
That's true.
Is awake and.
As Nihilus ventures back into ICU, he comes across many patients that are not doing too great. Nobody seems to be in any immediate danger. While there are plenty of nurses bustling around, it is still fairly calm. He stops in front of Libby's door. Thankfully, she is awake and mindlessly watching TV.
Libby?
Hello.
Hi. I'm just here to check in on you. I'd like to volunteer here, and I like to try to make sure everybody's, you know, feeling good. Spread the little joy I can. You know, in the hospital, definitely a place that could use, you know, some joy. So, hi, I'm just, you know, kind of popped by here today. How are you doing?
Sorry, I haven't seen anyone but nurses this whole time. Are you holding cupcakes?
Yes. You bring them around, try to put a smile on, you know, whoever's face I can, but, you know, I do have to be careful, depending on, you know, why people are in here. Sometimes it doesn't always go so well. You know, it's just something that would interest you or not really something that would work with your condition. You know, may I ask what happened?
I am on an all-liquid diet right now. I don't need a cupcake. Thank you.
Not interested in a cupcake, obviously. Libby goes back to watching the TV.
I mean, can I ask what happened? Or, you know, I've got some other things. Maybe we can get something set up for you. What have you really enjoyed so far that you have been able to have on your liquid diet? Is there something we can take and maybe make it a little bit better?
While Nihilus is trying to find something pleasant for Libby to eat, Zoe is dealing with Alistair.
Okay,
Okay. If you have never been fortunate enough to make best friends with a ghost, you would not realize that they are also similar to dogs, as in where they are very focused on their friend when they're in front of them, but the moment they step away...
Oh my god.
It's like having a toddler on speed. Thankfully, Zoe is strong enough to handle Alistair and keep him at bay.
I'm just gonna be like, listen, it's okay, alright? Just calm down. He didn't disappear. He's fine. Just chill. You good?
After a moment, Alistair is distracted again and goes after the receptionist's shoelaces.
Dude, whatever.
Do what you gotta do.
I don't care.
Alistair, safe and secure, Nihlus was able to continue to talk to Libby.
So what you know, happened that got you in here?
It's so dumb. Like, you remember that really old urban legend, like, from the 90s?
I mean, there was one or two around that time, so you might have to be a little more specific.
The whole Pop Rocks and Coke and Mentos and Coke.
Oh, yeah. You mix, if you have a Coke after eating a bunch of Pop Rocks, you're... Is that what happened? That was just, you know, an urban legend.
I mean, I thought so, too. That's why we did it for TikTok. I mean, my friend is down the hall because she did Mentos and Coke.
No, now, that one, I'm pretty sure you're not supposed to eat that one. I mean, that was always just you put them in the bottle. And so that's where you're going off. So have a lot of your friends been, you know, happening and stuff? That's really weird. And it kind of seems like that's a trend right now. Is there somebody who, a lot of times I know those TikTok challenges, somebody kind of starts those. How did you guys get turned on to that?
It wasn't a trend challenge. Someone dared us. That's the whole point of our TikTok. We accept dares. And, like, we didn't expect it to do anything.
Do you know who dared you, or?
I mean, it's TikTok. You can have 7 accounts in 30 seconds.
That's true, I guess. Anybody else? Have there been a lot of dares going around the school right now?
I mean, there's always a lot of weird stuff at school. I mean, you live in Reddington, right?
Oh, yeah, it's a wonderful place.
I don't know. There's some weird pranks or something going on. I don't know. Maybe they are all dares? Like, Kyle? God, that guy is such an asshole. He beat up this little kid, like... Anyway, I don't know what happened to him, but good.
Kyle. Oh, is he the one whose face got stuck that way?
What does it mean?
Wait, he beat up a little kid?
Yeah, he just...
Oh, I hate to say, I don't like to talk ill about anybody, but that just sounds like karma right there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, who knows? I just know I tell my younger siblings to stay away. Can we wrap this up? I'm exhausted.
Of course. Maybe, you know, I can, if I may, you know, the cupcake's probably not a good idea. You said you're on a liquid diet, but maybe I can mix something up for you that would be, you know, a little special, a little better that you can get, you know, just from the regular hospital menu here. And Nihlus kind of was ruffling through the thing, pulling out some, you know, like a lemon juice and kind of maybe mix up just like a really nice, like, cucumber lemon water for her, and is going to go ahead and try to imbue a little magic into that to make her feel better.
As Nihlus passes the potion that he has brewed together, Libby takes a sip of the lemonade.
It's a cucumber lemon water. It's there's no sugar in it. That would probably really not be great right now.
My apologies, Nihlus. A cucumber lemon water. We would like all of our Reddington citizens safe, and sugar does not seem like the best idea after what Libby has gone through. As Libby drinks the potion that Nihlus has passed her, he is able to watch as his magic combats what looks like a curse in Libby's aura. After a moment, Libby looks visibly better, but it is clear she is going to be in the hospital for a little while longer. That being said, Nihlus has definitely helped make her feel more comfortable.
So it's a curse, and is that, can I tell, is that kind of a general thing, or is it a, like, nice personalized curse? Like, this is just for her.
As Nihlus looks at the curse, he realizes that it has been specifically made for Libby.
Okay. So then, from the other investigative mystery, hold What can do it?
As Nihilus studies the curse longer, he comes to the conclusion that the only way these kids are being cursed is by specific items. For Libby, that means she had to ingest something specifically that cursed her.
Yeah, yeah. So the what can do it, yeah, is an object that was imbued with something. Yeah, so it's, yep. All right, well, I have some other people to go try to, you know, put a smile on their face. So I, you know, if you want to talk anytime, or you know what, you know what might help now. You can't enjoy these now. I'm sorry. I will have to take these cupcakes with me. But if you would like, here is a coupon for the restaurant later. And once you are feeling better, come on and enjoy a dessert on the house.
Libby smiles politely and sets the coupon on the table near her bed. She then curls up and proceeds to fall into that hazy hospital sleep that painkillers will give you.
So before Nihilus comes back, I am going to throw an arm around Barnabas real quick.
Oop.
Barry, hey.
Hey.
Quick question.
What's up?
About that little demon in your body, tattoo, whatever.
Razadong just like his little sick hands like grab the collar and just like poke his head up.
Yeah.
To see you when you say that.
So does he at any point ever like take over your body to do things?
Maybe. Who told you?
Didn't
I want to say it?
No.
I asked him not to say it.
You just said it right now, actually. But here's the thing. I was wondering if like if we could carve out maybe like 5-10 minutes where he takes over to have a little conversation with me.
We could.
That's possible. Like, you're totally okay with that.
I mean, I let him take his turn in poker night.
Okay.
But I'm a little scared what he'll do.
Talking? Like, has he never spoken before?
I think. I can't hear, because I'm not there.
Right. Okay. No, that's fine. That makes sense. I just, you know, I'm just curious, I suppose. I mean, Alistair is this wispy blue thing, so I don't think... I mean, I can't really record proof of him at all, but Raz seems interesting. And I'd like to just, you know, get to know him a little better.
Okay. Do you have anything to restrain me?
Is that going to be necessary?
I don't know.
You let him take over for poker night.
He likes poker, though. Like, he's not going to leave the game.
Okay, all right.
You want to do this now?
Maybe you could join poker night.
Okay. Well, not now, obviously. But, like, you know, I'll get some things together to...
Listen, we're having poker night tomorrow night. Why don't you just join us?
Fine, I guess. I don't know.
We can get Fen too. Let's make it a party.
Sure. I don't know how to play poker, but I'd be down.
It's okay. Neither does he.
Okay. Sure. Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
I'll send you the details.
Yep. Ben, quick question. Do you want to, like, just follow me to this little corner?
Yeah, sure.
Hey,
sure.
Hey.
Where?
Okay, listen.
The receptionist looks at Zoe and Finn as they walk into a corner near her. Would you prefer if I leave the reception area?
You're fine. You don't care. You don't get paid a lot to
normally
care.
Listen
whatever.
In on people, or you just it's fine.
Don't
relax.
Worry.
It's more that we just don't get a lot of guests, but... Okay, I'm gonna go over there.
We're just gonna go over here.
Fen. So, I mean, I know your whole deal, you know, my whole deal, we have a certain rapport, you know?
Sure.
What the fuck is up with Barnabas? Like, do you have any clue what his whole demon tattoo thing is about? Like, do you know about the demon? Like, what is the... Have you spoken to the demon? I have a lot of questions, to be honest.
I have not I had barely spoken to Barnabas before this. I mean, we've had a couple of run-ins here and there, but we weren't, like...
But I mean, you've never, like, run into a demon in this town, have you? Like, I feel like I've run into a lot of things in this town. Swamp people, for one. Mothman. Mothwoman. You know, just a number of things. But, like, a demon seems like it seems very odd. Like, I've never had to run into a demon before.
In this town, specifically.
Hmm.
I mean, I've encountered some people doing demonology type things.
There's always people doing demonology. We just call those goth kids in high school. Like, they're just... That doesn't count.
After getting bored with playing with the receptionist's shoelaces, Alistair begins to stir a bit.
Oof!
I would like to grab Barnabas and pull you over and be like, hey! Your stick man is, like, buddies with Alistair, right? Why don't the two of them hang out?
Yeah, sure.
Run interference, just kind of stand there for Alistair to be distracted.
Though he is excited by the prospect of playing with Roz, he catches something behind the adventurers. Alistair immediately takes off after whatever he has spotted, just before Nihlus returns to the waiting room.
So guys, hey. This seems kind of personal.
Hey, quick question.
Libby was... Yeah. Wait, where's Alistair?
No, quick question about Alistair, actually. He's not, like, the type of wisp that, like, drains people's life force, right? Like, he... Like, no one's in danger if he suddenly ran off, right?
Alistair ran off.
Why?
He should know!
I was gonna build up to that!
Draining people's energy is not the only danger presented.
Nihlus, yes.
I mean, if he just left and we can get him back soon, I don't think it would be too bad.
But he's not gonna, like, kill someone for fun, right? I don't like that silence. Nihlus?
I mean...
Alright, we gotta find Alistair. We gotta go.
there's nobody, like...
We gotta find Alistair. Alistair!
There's nobody that really would deserve that in town, right?
We are in an ICU. There are children here. Unless one of these kids...
No, that's my point. Alistair's not going to go after a kid. If there's somebody who maybe has some kind of serious karma coming their way...
Alistair's
morals are a little different than ours?
He has morals?
Who is the asshole kid who got his face?
No, that's kind of what I was getting at.
Kyle Watterson.
Oh, actually, I did kind of want to talk to Alistair about him. That would be kind of... I mean, not to kill him. Not advocating killing him at all.
Oh,
but,
my God. He's going to kill Kyle Watterson.
We need to go find Kyle Watterson.
I'm sure there's other assholes in this hospital.
Yeah,
there's probably a lot of assholes in this hospital.
Suddenly, the door to the staircase slams.
I'm gonna go straight for it, just beeline.
Okay. Yeah, same.
As the adventurers go to investigate, they open the door and hear the pitter-patter of little feet as it runs down the stairs.
Swamp people, and I chase it!
Unfortunately, our adventurers experience a massive echo while in the staircase, but eventually realize that the pitter-patter of feet have gone down rather than up. As they make their way down to the first floor, they find Alistair, who has finally realized the adventurers are following him.
Alistair, what the fuck?
Alistair, I was just telling everybody, you weren't going to do anything, you know, out of light, like, from what we've talked about, right?
I'm sorry, you had to convince him not to kill people before? Is that what I'm hearing?
Your words, not mine.
As Zoe tries to understand the agreement with Alistair better, he begins to gesture and point frantically down the staircase.
I'm gonna run down the staircase.
Go with Barnabas.
As Zoe and Barnabas run down, so does Alistair. At the bottom of the staircase is a door. It looks like a normal door, a normal, average hospital door. But it is the end of the line for the hallway.
I'm just going to put a hand on Barnabas' shoulder. Hey, Barry. So, Raz, does he have powers that may help us get out of a deadly jam.
Yeah, he can use magic. For sure. For sure-sies.
I'm just gonna speak directly to Raz. Like, hey, Raz, so if I give you, like, a timeshare on, like, part of my soul, will you promise to protect me?
You see, his right hand extrudes from my neck? Protrudes from my neck. Like a hand that reaches out to shake yours.
Oh, you can do that. Okay, sorry. No, I wasn't serious right now. But, like, in the future, I'll keep that in mind. I will keep that in mind, bro.
It just, the hand just sucks back in my neck.
You know what? It's fine. You know what? I will keep that. I wasn't sure. I just had to be, you know what? We'll circle back to this later. I may need to employ you. I'll give you a timeshare on my soul. I don't know how the fuck. Fucking works.
The stick figure tattoo just kind of like crosses his legs and like rests against something nonchalantly.
All right, don't be a dick, dude.
It shrugs.
Demons. Okay. Door. I'm gonna kick down the door.
Hospital doors are pretty sturdy.
Or at least attempt to.
Can I just try to open the door?
I lift my foot up like I'm about. I was like, wait, fuck. I'm not. No, this isn't. Okay. Opening the door. Yeah. Going with that, and then, like, just reaching for it.
As the adventurers gear up to open this door, they surprisingly find it unlocked. However, when they open the door, they notice that this is definitely not the hospital basement. Instead, there is a tiny room, similar to an interrogation room, with only a few chairs and a table. Sitting on the table is, in fact, a jester doll.
Oh, I hate that.
Oh, I hate this so much.
Oh, no. Barnabas just shuts the door. Barnabas just shuts the door.
Barry, what?
I barricade the door. No. Get. So? Barry? No.
We have to get the doll.
No.
Oh, I hate this so much.
It was a doll. It's fabric. What's jingling?
I don't know, but guys, Barry?
Why?
Barry?
Do you have your camera?
Oh my god! You are a genius, Ben! Whips out my camera.
Is the doll trying to open the door?
Oh, I think the doll has keys!
So I whipped out my cell phone, and I'm just pressing record on the camera. It's like, hey guys, it's me, XO from Zoe, and I'm here because I have heard a really juicy secret about a
haunted doll. Why is the doll trying to open the door?
Shut up, I'm filming here. Anyways, that's just, you know, my assistance. Because of all you lovely viewers, I finally am able to hire some assistants of mine, including Barnabas, who will not get out of the way.
Barnabas, I think you should stay in the way.
I think I should stay in the way,
yep,
too.
That's about right.
Oh, gosh, I can see the doll.
Get out of the way, Barry.
But it looks like a jester.
Who cares? My viewers need to see this. Open the door. Barnabas.
No. It was green and yellow and white face paint, like the paint on the pipe.
Yeah,
no,
exactly. That's... I need to get like a quick shot for my viewers. Why are you getting in the way of my paycheck?
Because it's going to put our foot in the pipe.
Our foot is not going to go. Where is the pipe? Where is a pipe anywhere in that room that you would put our foot through?
I don't know. I bet that kid wasn't even in a pool, but it ate his foot. Oh, God. The laughter freaks me out, and I just, like, jump to the side and, like, protect my head.
I'm going to go and, like, go for the door.
Nihilus would want to put something together to enchant the door, basically, and aim to trap a specific minion, person, or monster. So basically to kind of contain, like they said, it's a small room right there to basically, so that even when the door's open, it is entrapped.
In an effort to contain the jester doll, Nihilus mixes together a bunch of ingredients. Unfortunately, due to fear, the ingredients break in his hands, and a puff of smoke comes out, showing the spell has completely failed. After a moment, Zoe is able to open the door, and the doll is sitting back on the table again.
No, it's good.
What the hell?
I'm sorry. Can't...
Alistair, what the hell is that thing? Is this a friend of yours?
Alistair shakes his head vigorously and hides behind Nihilus.
I'm going to walk into the room.
This?
The ghost is backing
up. It's not a voodoo doll. I'm pretty sure. I think it's just an evil doll.
Okay, well, it's a cursed doll. Yeah, I'm walking into the room.
With the help of Alistair, Zoe begins to investigate the doll. Despite the fact that it's looking straight forward, never turning its head towards Zoe, she can still hear a little giggle echo around the room. Zoe realizes that this is not the urban legend she was thinking of, but she does in fact know this doll and the urban legend that goes with it. This is in fact a trickster spirit that it has been put in a jester doll and is being controlled by someone else. As Zoe and Alistair continue to investigate, she starts to see the trickster ghost come out of the doll a little bit and investigate on its own.
I'm going to go forward and grab the spirit. just going to grab it. And I'm, like, the same way I grab Alistair, and yeah. I'm just going to stare at it.
Its reaction is just, wait, you can do that?
Hey, dude. A big fan of your whole vibe, you know? Like, I get it. Super cool. However, I think you're... You know, you're targeting kids, and that's kind of not chill. I think you would have a lot more fun if you, like, maybe targeted, like, I don't know, politicians, you know, people who are in charge of things, the town council, literally anybody else that is not a, you know, harmless child. Like, it's... Whatever you're doing, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure that you are just, you know, having your jollies or whatever.
So you took a hard turn from how worried you were about Alistair to be kind of chummy with this thing.
I'm gonna look, I was like, shut the fuck up, okay? This thing did not target me like Alistair did.
Have you met the town council yet?
I would fucking love to. However, those bastards want to be smoking mirrors all the time.
You're not ready to meet the town council yet.
What's your name?
As Zoe questions the trickster spirit, she starts to feel as if the spirit is using the connection in the opposite direction.
What is that?
I like your ideas. If you're in charge of me, maybe then I can stop playing these boring pranks on children.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I have tons of ideas. Like, I don't know. I honestly don't know why you were targeting children. They don't really do anything. They don't really cause chaos, you know, on a large scale as, like, you know, politicians do.
Why don't you take me with you? And we can make some kind of deal.
Oh, hell yeah. And I'm gonna turn to the others like, guys, I'm about to have a ghost bestie. And I'm going to turn to the ghost. I'm like, my name's Zoe. What do you want me to call you?
As Zoe again questions the jester to find out its name, she begins to feel as if she is not alone in her body. As the other adventurers hear the laughter again, they slowly start to realize it is also coming from Zoe.
They try to get into the room. Because it sounds like Zoe is being driven mad or something.
Barnabas tries to enter the room to help Zoe, but finds that he is unable to. Unfortunately, it is going to require more power than just Barnabas has.
Okay. Razadon? Okay, we're going to do this real quick, okay? But it's going to be... This is not going to be long, okay? This is going to be very short. It's just going to be a mission, okay? We get in, we save Zoe. We bring her out, okay? And then we shut the door, okay? And the little stick figure goes, it just nods excitedly. And I go, oh, okay. And I'm gonna let Razadonk take over for a little bit. So a much more confident looking Barnabas steps through the doorway. They would like to make try to observe. I think Razadonk is probably better at identifying whether or not she's in pain or if this is a a mutual laughter.
I don't really care about Barnabas. sorry. But I think I would also like to get into the room, because Zoe is sort of my friend, and I am like, this is not great. And I'm just gonna sort of step forward and be like, so can we sidebar?
As Sven follows behind Barnabas, they do not find that they have the same barrier that Barnabas experienced.
Okay, cool. Well, probably not great, but I go. So, can we sidebar for a second? Maybe away from the doll?
I'm just gonna, like, do that little creepy, jagged turn, like, to Fen.
Fen! Hey! How are you?
You know, it's been an interesting day. So?
Hasn't it? It's been great.
Did you make a deal with the doll?
I wouldn't say it's a deal. I think we just see eye to eye on some things.
Is that what you're going to tell your followers?
My followers?
Yeah. About how now you're going to be doing all your videos with this doll?
But they wouldn't love that.
Would they?
I mean, if I told
every video?
If I told them, hey, you know, this is my bestie, which is a haunted doll. They come for that content. Who wouldn't love it?
Hey, Zoe?
Yes, Barry?
Oh, no. It's me. Just want to say, huge fan. This right here?
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Fantastic idea.
You are not helping.
Oh, she's helping herself plenty.
I think my fans would love this new transformation.
I'd like to turn to Fen and try to intimidate her into not arguing.
Fen already doesn't necessarily get along with Barnabas. And regardless of whether you're Razadonk or not, I think I am offended by you. I don't think... Because you're trying to intimidate me into just stopping.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a big gesture. It was just, like, me and Zoe both were saying that this was a great idea. And then I was just going to kind of turn to you with just, like, an unblinking stare, like, say something. Which did not work.
No. Oh, Barry or Raz or whoever you are, I don't think either of you are very qualified to talk about what's good for followers. I don't think you know how to gain followers at all. I don't think you understand appeal even the least little bit. Which is why, Zoe, you're going to listen to me.
Huh.
And we're going to do maybe one or two videos with the doll. But I don't think all of them is really necessary. Zoe knows this is what I'm good at, is getting people. I know what the people want, Zoe.
Oh,
listen to me. And it's not haunted clown dolls. You will lose followers for haunted clown dolls.
Guess that makes sense. Well, I do want to make my followers happy. And if this clown doll isn't going to do that for very long, maybe it's not good for my brand.
I mean, what's your brand? Breaking into spooky houses. Is your brand sitting and talking to a spooky doll? Not really.
No. You're right. Well.
You don't know. It could be. Have you tried posting a video of you talking to a spooky doll?
The thing with followers is that they're okay with something once or twice, and then they get bored of it.
Why don't you make a poll?
Huh. Interesting. A poll. That will really get them engaged. I don't know. Nihlus, what do you think?
I think Nihlus is pretty good out here. You're all kind of freaking me out a little bit right now. Can't we all just be little happier. You're smiling, but you're smiling a little too much in the wrong kind of way, and it's really freaking me out.
Nihilus really representing about half your follower base.
Oh, I'm sure it's just the bad lighting over there, Nihilus. Why don't you just step into this room?
It's so warm in here.
I think Nihilus would actually like to open their third eye to read a bad situation.
By opening his third eye, Nihilus is now able to see the demon energy that is in both Zoe and Barnabas. While looking around the room, he also notices that Fen looks slightly different, but is unable to tell why. After adjusting to how the room looks with his third eye open, Nihilus takes a moment to see if there are any dangers that he hasn't noticed. Other than the room not actually being part of the hospital and instead being a portal to another part of town, there is not any danger Nihilus has not noticed.
I can really tell how bad this situation is.
It is terrible.
When concerned about what the biggest threat is, I think it's safe to say that the threat of two of his friends becoming jester minions is likely the biggest threat right now.
Yeah, so I guess I'm pretty well aware of how bad the situation is now.
Feeling his third eye begin to close, Nihilus reaches out for any last information he can find. He realizes that the best way to save his friends is by getting Barnabas and Zoe out of this haunted room, or Nihilus can attempt to destroy the Jester doll.
My presence has been requested in the room.
Nihilus, come join us.
Yeah, Nihilus, get on in here.
Nihilus would not leave them all in there by themselves. And there's not much else I can do from out here. So I think all of the things spilled on the floor, the fizzled components from the previous spell, hunting around, trying to figure out what to do, and sees the cupcakes, scoops up a cupcake, and is going to come charging into the room with a cupcake in either hand and just like, you guys need to chill out and a cupcake in the face of both Zoe and Barnabas. imbuing them with magic to try to banish spirits or curse from them. In the case of Barnabas, okay, probably more knocking Razadonk out of control than out of Barnabas. But
as Nihilus charges into the room and smashes a cupcake in both Zoe and Barnabas's face, Zoe is able to snap out of it.
Oh.
Little bit of frosting on your face, but.
Whoa. You know what? That's really good frosting, actually.
Oh, it's homemade buttercream.
Oh, you know what? I really gotta go by the restaurant more. Later. We can go back to that. We can circle back to that later. What is happening right now? What just happened?
Unfortunately, Barnabas is still being possessed by Roz.
Well, you dropped your doll.
And I hold it up to you.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just like, I'm like halfway towards like taking it.
I'm going to grab
Nihilus.
And I'm just like, wait a minute. Raz.
Creepy doll.
You're Raz.
I have to take over your YouTube channel.
Wait, everyone. Shh. Yes. Everyone. Shh. Raz.
Yeah, that's a creepy doll.
Oh my god, so and you're like the demon that's in Barry's body?
Yeah, I could be the demon in yours, too.
Okay, I'm...
Not creepy, more of a possession thing.
I mean, we can circle back to that.
Little creepy.
Little creepy, but different reasons.
We can circle back to that. Hold on, like, I might be serious about that, but we gotta circle back to it. So, how exactly does this work for you? You just take over, and does he just trust you to, like, relinquish control, or does he fight you for it? What's the process?
Well, not always, but in this case, seems he saw you under the influence of the Jester and asked for help. Thanks for that.
Oh,
and you're
that's
so great at it.
So sweet.
You can see on Razadonk's neck a tattoo of a stick figure that is clean-shaven and instead just has stress lines on his face.
Does the other stick figure have a beard? Because I don't think we ever...
Hey, so Rez...
Oh, no, it has a mustache. Sorry.
Rez, so since you're like in control of this body, do you like you don't do you feel pain or like?
No.
Really?
No, I don't.
Interesting.
He does.
He does. So whatever you do,
and you see that you see the stick figure waving his arms like no.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's not great. That's definitely not great. So okay, quick question. So what would it take for you to just go back into the tattoo and let him come back out?
Oh, I don't know. You pick up that doll again?
You know that if I do, he's gonna want to ask you for help again.
I don't know. It seemed like you were having fun before.
I was possessed!
Tomato, tomato.
Okay, so if I pick up this doll, you will let him take over.
And he turns to Nihilus.
One more cupcake.
Razadonk.
Nihilus.
You will let Barnabas back out if she does this?
Yeah.
How is that helping us, though?
I'm gonna take the doll. I'm just gonna go for it.
I'm getting my kicks.
As Zoe picks up the doll again at Roz's request, she is able to feel the spirit moving around inside of the doll, angrily trying to get out and possess her again. But as every good demon knows, consent is required for possession.
He said to pick up the doll. He didn't say to let the spirit back in.
And Nihilus's cupcake was so good. But one should never underestimate how good Nihilus's food is and how good that magical buttercream is, as that demon is deep inside the doll right now.
There you go, Raz. I'm holding the stupid fucking doll.
Yes, you are.
And Razadonk just, like, licks the frosting from the last cupcake off his fingers and switches back with Barnabas.
Gah! Barry?
What happened? Put the doll down!
I'm fine. It's okay. Nihilus's cupcakes... Help! That's a weird sentence. It's fine.
I get it. They help.
I mean, I think it's more like the thought that counts.
Thank you.
But you know, the cupcakes are good.
It's really the power of friendship.
No, the cupcakes are very good.
You know what? Just can I? I want to just burn this doll. So can we just quickly leave, find a dumpster, light it on fire, throw this doll?
Quickly leaving would be good because we're not in the hospital anymore. We're somewhere else, and I would like to not be somewhere else. I'd like to be back in the hospital. I'd like to not be in the hospital either,
okay,
but
step one is
to not be here.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's go. Let's go. Nihilus, okay. Everyone, out.
Great.
Oh, yes.
Dart out of the room.
While the room has not been neutralized, whoever it belongs to is aware that they have been bested for the moment. The adventurers are allowed to leave the room, and as the last person exits, the door slams behind them.
Door in office going somewhere else? Really cool. Door to creepy doll going somewhere?
Okay, now burn the doll.
Yeah, we're like...
Does anyone have a lighter?
Does anybody have a lighter?
Oh, I have a creme brulee torch.
Why do you have it?
In case I need to make a creme brulee.
At a moment's notice, just give that shit to me.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And I'm going to like hold the doll at arm's length and then like also do the creme brulee thing and like light it on fire. And then once it's like starting to like actually hurt me, I just like drop the doll and like just watch it be consumed by the flames.
With the fear and knowledge that the ghost was sleeping more than defeated, the adventurers decide to burn it right there in the hospital.
At this point, I'm not chancing it, you know?
Setting off fire alarms and everything.
As the sprinklers come on.
Everyone, run! Let's go! They're gonna come for us! We gotta go!
Bad idea.
Gotta go.
The doll is completely burned to a crisp.
What about the doll? Do we leave the doll? Do we leave the remains?
No.
I'm gonna pick it up. The burnt charred remains of the doll, unless it disintegrated, to like lock it up back at the office.
I'm sure we can wish for a room for containment.
Right? A little doll sized jail cell.
Oh, I was thinking like a containment room for everything we may encounter.
Our magical prison cells, what if they were, we basically banish it kind of to an alternate dimension on a piece of microfilm.
Yes.
So it gets
Yes. That's great.
A few weeks after our adventurers deal with some pranks gone wrong, they have gathered to perform a little bit of big magic using Nihilus's spellcasting skills to preserve the jester demon. After some discussion, Our adventurers realize that the safest place to cast this spell is likely going to be the unnamed news building. So they decide to meet up there to attempt the ritual.
I think it's actually similar to the spell that entrapped Alistair on the page that was in the book where Nihilus found him. So I think even Alistair might actually be helping out in the sense of kind of helping Nihilus fill in the details to recreate the spell that had trapped Alistair. And so it's kind of, yeah, being modified to entrap the doll into this microfiche so that we can archive it down at the bottom. And I think there's quite a bit of juice in the building itself in the sense of the magic that it has. So I think, you know, that would probably, so it kind of has to be done in the special room in the basement there, kind of provides a lot of the oomph. But then, yeah, it's definitely a couple person lengthy spell based on the one that imprisoned Alistair.
I think it's like he said, he's trapped on a page, but it's almost like in Harry Potter, those like moving images that are instead of photographs on the newspaper page. It's just Calypso trying to get out, but that's the moving picture in the newspaper page when we're like, breaking news. And it fits in the column of stuff in town you should watch out for. Amazing. Okay.
Well, because you said microfiche machine, right? And, like, I'm thinking, because those things, you, like, roll a thing and the film goes through it. I'm thinking we put in the jester on one end and out comes a little bit of film with the picture of the jester.
Well, it's like, you could reload it into, like, you can kind of check on the inmate. Like, so that cell of the microfiche, you pop it in, and when it's up on the screen, then you see him, the jester, like, on the screen for the machine. Just to make sure he's, you know, still there.
It's wonderful. Yeah. For sure.
Despite the trouble with the jester demon, Calypso, the news group is still able to put out a newspaper.
I think the one thing Zoe is also going to do is just like make a list of like top 10 silly things we used to believe as kids, you know, just as a tongue-in-cheek joke.
Because I was going to say
that.
TikTok trends.
Nice.
I think Nihilus is going to make sure to include a column with a recipe for cupcakes with homemade buttercream frosting.
Nice. Barnabas definitely has the article about this, or it's a group article, I think, about Calypso. And there's also a second article that he adds to the thing about Swamp People unconfirmed involvement in this case, but several sewers were found around each site. Further investigation will tell.
Our adventurers settle in for the night. They have done a hard day's work and released what I think is one of the best newspapers to date. As they pack up their stuff for the day, prepared for the night's festivities, unfortunately, the phone rings.
Yeah, I thought so.
Wendy.
You would think by now that our adventurers realize I am not actually their receptionist, but the town narrator.
Wendy. Please just pick it up.
But I guess in case they don't, I do not actually work for the news crew. I work for Reddington.
Nose goes.
Fun.
All right, I'll go. I'll get the phone because I think I know what it's about. I pick up the phone and I go, Reddington Daily something or other, how can we help you?
Send help! There are unicorns attacking my shop! Thank you for listening to Once Upon a Monster of the Week. Reddington's monsters are controlled by Meg Griffin. Episodes are edited by Alex Lavelle and produced by Robert Chauncey. A special thanks to Red Speaks for being my human version of a jar of paper slips with monster ideas on them. Thank you also to Michael Sands and Evil Hat for the Monster of the Week gaming system used in this podcast. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new group to follow. Until then, you can find the links in our show notes to all of our social media. Please also check out our Patreon. Even for $1, you can get some exciting things. Once Upon a Monster of the Week is part of Haunted Griffin Entertainment. Please check out our website for more of our shows. Today's episode guest starred Red Sphinx as Arturo Jackson, Libby Stewart, and Calypso the Jester. Today's episode starred
Isaiah Rothstein as Barnabas Crowley.
Algie Todd playing Fen.
Reese Tirado playing Xiomara Hernandez.
Mick Wheaton as Nihilus Wheeler.